Hazrat Sheikh Saadi, a very famous and well-known pious elder, about whom you will have heard about him and you will have read his malfuzat, his records in his life. There's a very famous city. There's a very famous saying of Sheikh Saadi rahmatullah alayh. It seems as if he, you could say, summarized his complete deen in this couplet, in this verse, and presented it to us. And he showed us a destination and a goal. And in a beautiful way he explained this. That insan, the human being, the islah, rectification, correction. What should be the result of a person's islah? Islah. In Arabic we call this tazkiyah, or purification, or to improve oneself, to clean oneself. So in a very good way, and he was a great wali and sheikh, and he said that for islah, for rectification, for tazkiyah, what will be the result? You know, like we have the result, we read in kitabs, and then we read again, and we study, and then the examination, and then the result. So what's the result of the study of deen, the effort of deen? So when a person has fikr for his islah, for his rectification, then alhamdulillah. And if he strives and makes effort and wants to do his islah, rectify himself, I want to be corrected and improved, and Allah gives understanding to somebody, it's a very big point, then he should think that nafs and shaitan, there are paths and ways, and every path and way, shaitan will say, you are a pious person now, you're a sheikh, you've done islah, you're correct now, everyone praises you, and you are mashallah pious and famous. So for islah, the formula that Sheikh Saadi presented according to the Quran and Hadith is that if you are seeking the destination, if you want rectification, doesn't matter how much you worship, doesn't matter how much you look good outside, externally, you're following the sunnah, you can do whatever you want. You could become an abid, you could become a zahid, everything, but remember one point. All of these things will give success only when everything you do is in accordance with the sharia and the sunnah of Rasulullah, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That's when you will be successful, an abid, a zahid, the ashik, the lover of the sunnah, you follow sharia, when you follow, do everything according to his way sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If all of our actions in our life, everything in our life, this is islah. According to who should it be? Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's sharia and sunnah. Our standing, sitting, walking, sleeping, waking, tijara, business, buying, selling, taking, home issues, wife, children, rights, at home issues, external issues, parents issues, wife and children issues. All of this on tomorrow, on the day of judgment, we will be accounted for these things. Not that, oh, we're just free, praise Salah, end of story, and we're successful. Or Dahiri, let's correct our face and appearance, and we become pious elders and we're following the sunnah. No, never will success come this way. Every action, especially the dunya within us, all of the evil is within, which is called the batin, the internal self. Until the external and internal, zahir and batin, are both not according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then islah is not taking place. At home with something, outside with something else. Inside something and outside something else. Be careful. Be careful. So we need to follow with the balance. Who can we deceive? We think we can deceive Allah? Never. Never can we deceive Allah. So this is life for the insan. That totally, when he desires, I want to be successful in the akhirah, I want to be saved from hellfire, I want a high status in the hereafter, and I want to drink the water from the pond of Kawthar from the blessed hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, All of these rewards and the status for the hereafter and the glory, everything is based on what? We have to follow the criteria of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. Now, if you read the Quran, and the pious predecessors have given a beautiful understanding to us that the dhikr that we do, when we remember Allah, in reality, this nisbat of dhikr is due to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember this, yes. The connection with dhikr of Allah that we perform, we would never have the tawfiq to do dhikr, and Allah would never permit us to remember Him, ever. This dhikr that we do, in reality, the name of Allah, the greatness of the dhikr of Allah, all of this is due to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we've got this. Yes. Now we need to see this point. Allah's kalam, the Quran Hakim, explains to us. كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْكُمْ. Is this verse not in the Quran? That Allah Ta'ala says, I have given you, sent to you an azeem status of a Rasul. I've sent to you. Allah Ta'ala said this, isn't it? And then Allah Ta'ala praised Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Quran, that he's the Rasul, and also يَتْلُ عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِ. What does he do to you? He has presented to you and taught you the Quranic verses. يُزَكِّيهِمْ. He will teach you تَزْكِيَةً. Tazkiyah, islah, rectification, hikmah, his hikmah, ulum, knowledge, tafasir, commentary of the Quran, fiqh, jurisprudence. Allah is introducing in the Quran and praising his Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that this is that great personality with the great rank. All previous Nabis came, but this is the completion of prophethood, the seal of the prophets. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest prophet. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will complete the deen. And his deen will be the deen until the end of time. This is his glory, his status, his rank. And on top of this, Allah Ta'ala said that he will explain to you that what you need, what you could never imagine, that ilm, that knowledge that you never knew, he will also tell you this, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لَوْ كَانُوا تَعْلَمُونَ. You didn't know what he was talking about. He will explain to you. Allah's shan, he's explained it fully to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who is Allah Ta'ala addressing? Me and you. Us. All of us. Is this Quran not for us? كَمَا رَسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولُمْ. Allah Ta'ala said, I sent the Nabi to you as a guidance for all of your affairs. Yes? Allah Ta'ala says, embrace this. Look. All of the things I've given to you, you've got with sadaqah, due to the sadaqah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Quran, the fiqh, the jurisprudence, the masail, halal, haram. We know that this is halal and this is haram, and that dogs and like dogs and cats, we would have eaten everything. Aren't people eating? They're taking rats or mice and eating them. They eat donkeys and animals and dogs. We are those who have been given the guidance, what's good, what's bad. We give and assign everything to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala said, look what a Rasul I sent to you, who taught you purity and good and bad. He said, eat this and don't eat this. Don't go close to this, this is not good for you. Don't go near to this, this is bad for you. Leave this action, this is bad for you. And present yourself to your wife like this. And don't live your life with your children like this. Fulfill their rights in the right way. Look at the points that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us. And when a man, for example, gets wed, and the lady gets married to the man, and she leaves her home to live with him, and there were no relationships before, and people do dhulm with their wives all life long, they oppress and they break the rights of the wife and the children, they don't fulfill the haqq. Yes? So don't think that this is a joke to play, that for example we pray, do sujood and pray tahajjud, we think we'll be forgiven just like this, and we mistreat the wife and the children. No, they will present their complaints, and the ibadah will not help us. I used to do this and the world said I was pious. I used to wear imama and turban and I was pious. No, the manners. So Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in the Quran, what do you need to do? Fadhkuruni adhkurkum wadhkuruni washkuruli wala takfurun. Isn't this? Allah Ta'ala said this, that this is such a great reward I've given to you. Washkuruli wala takfurun. Allah says that this reward you've got, you can never be fully grateful for this completely. That you've got the connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with this Nabi, you've got the nisbat, the Nabi I sent to you. This reward, you cannot fulfill the shukr, be grateful for. This is such a great ni'mah that you cannot be fully grateful for. Yes? And washkuruli wala takfurun, that if you cannot be grateful for this name of Allah, then the punishment for this is massive. And how can you be grateful for this? Allah Ta'ala says, I'll tell you the tariqah for this. What is it? Fadhkuruni. Allah says, remember me if you want to be grateful. So here, very big point comes out. That in reality, when we do dhikr, when we remember Allah, then when we're doing the dhikr of Allah, then in reality, this is the ni'mah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we've got. We're doing shukr for the ni'mah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what we're doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, this is the point. So dhikr, remembering Allah, in reality is shukr. We're doing shukr. We're being grateful that Allah, you gave us a connection with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what a link, what a connection. The Quran, the Sharia, the Sunnah, Islah, rectification, improvement, all of this. How do we link this with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How? So this link, the connection, for this reason Allah says that you cannot never be grateful properly. Allah Ta'ala says, but do my dhikr, remember me, and then you'll be grateful for the ni'mah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when you are grateful for the ni'mah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I gave to you, my Habib, Allah says, then you'll get the darjah that when you remember me, when you're grateful for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's connection, then Allah will give such a big reward for that action. That look, all life long, we can praise dhikr. There are so many rewards for dhikr. But we will never be able to praise Allah enough or be grateful enough. 50 years I've been praising dhikr. Thousands of bayans. Thousands of talks. Maybe 3,000 or 4,000. Maybe more than that. Maybe more than that. 4,000 or 5,000. I would say that bayans must have taken place since I've spoken with the fadl of Allah, with Allah's blessing. Just on the topic of dhikr. And even today when I sit, it seems as if it's the first time in my life I'm praising dhikr of Allah. Allahu Akbar. What a vast ocean is the dhikr of Allah. Why? Why? It's connected with who? With that azim, great prophet who nobody can praise fully apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You understand what I'm saying? So this is the connection of dhikr with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah said, because I gave you the greatest Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as your guide and leader, and you have the greatest connection, Allah says, to be grateful for that, you have to do my dhikr. And doing my dhikr, fadhkuruni adhkurkum. Allah says, when you remember me, when you do my dhikr, so then you are being grateful for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's connection. So Allah says, when you do dhikr and remember me, then you are being grateful for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's company, and then you will be grateful to Allah. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum, and for that reason, Allah says, I will remember you. Aha. Do we understand this point now? So this is the connection with the great Nabi, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in our lives, and we should not spend one moment away from his deen. Every second, every moment we live our life according to whose lifestyle? The Nabi al-Kareem, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We live our whole life according to his way. What's the order here? How did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do this? Whoever doesn't live the life like this, and he does what he wants and leaves what he wants to leave and thinks I'm okay. No. No. Wasteful life. Bone idle life, waste life. So every moment of our life, every moment, no such thing in which the Prophet said that do this amal, leave this amal, do this action. The biggest example that ends here is that the worst of places, like for example, dunya, for example, that is going to finish and quickly. And what's the worst place? The toilet, for example, the washroom. The bathroom, the toilet, where we go. We say that we don't want to be in there long. We say there's no principle there. That actions in there, they have no guidance. But may we give everything for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sharia and Sunnah. He guided us how to go into the toilet, how to sit in the toilet. That put more weight on the left foot so you won't get constipation. Subhanallah, what a great point. That one brush that we use to clean our teeth, the miswak. There are more than 100 virtues that keep the miswak like this. Don't keep it like this, it will give illness. Tell me, can anyone give us the benefits of such an action of miswak? How can we say that the Prophet ﷺ didn't give us guidance for the complete life? We can do what we want. He even guided us what to do in the toilet. Islah means this, rectification means this, tazkiyah means this, that our whole life should be in accordance to whom? The Prophet ﷺ. And on this, me and you have to make effort. We call ourselves Sufis, we call ourselves pious, we say we're walis of Allah, we're Allah wale. My friends, my brothers, this is Allah's favor that He's allowed us to have these appearances. But this is not the manzil, let me tell you. This is not the destination. This is not the end point. Look at the mirror inside, the reflection of what's inside us. Our batin has to be brought to that level. But we have to have it to this level that we shouldn't be ashamed. We shouldn't be ashamed. We should establish, but we shouldn't be ashamed that Allah, what is this? Allah, That Allah will say, Allah will ask us that you were dirty and impure inside and you didn't clean yourself. So we need to take ourselves to the maqam. Allah Ta'ala has given us the opportunity. Let's not waste it. Let's take our deen to that maqam that Allah Ta'ala accepts our libas, our attire, our appearance, our face, how it looks, our external condition. But we need to strive for this. We need to do our islah. And the meaning of islah is what, my brothers? What is islah? Rectification. If you start to do islah of something, then you check it, you analyze it. Has it improved? Has it improved? Is it better? When you do islah of your car, you start to service it, maintain it. You'll see, is it clean? Has this part changed? Is it improved? Is it working now? Does it engage with this? Does the meter run? Etc. So we should have fikr all the time. That inside me, have I got a deficiency? Have I done my islah or not? Has this defect been improved? Has my situation improved? So it looks very insignificant. But Rasulullah says some azim sunnah with regards to islah. Rectification is very important. Very important that the shan of a mu'min, the status of a mu'min, that whoever wants to follow his life, live his life according to the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is azim sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Azim sunnah, very high status sunnah. Yes, that you can make your appearance hundreds of thousands of times over good, but it will not be equivalent to this great sunnah that we should bring into our lives. And what is that? That being soft and having love, demonstrating softness and tenderness, being soft and tender, light-hearted. This is a quality of the akhlaq of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That a wali of Allah, or a person who has a beard or a imama, or wears dhoti or wears white attire, what should his character be like? He should be extremely soft and tender. Yes, and mild-mannered and gentle. Otherwise, he'll look like a monkey. He's just a fake demonstration. On top, he's something inside something else. He should be soft, shafiq, and loving. This is a great quality of the Prophet ﷺ. It's such a great quality and attribute that if a person creates this within, then it's stated that he will influence the generation of people around him. They will follow him and love him and pay attention to him. Even the enemy of that person will start to love him. If this quality comes into us of tenderness and softness and mild-mannered a person, then no enmity will remain. So look how much your wife will love you if you are soft and tender. Imagine this. Where a person, for example, if he doesn't have relationships with people, the children, how they love a person so much, the children. If in that person there's softness and tenderness, if in a mother or father, especially children, they run away when there's no love or softness or mild-mannered qualities. For example, the mother, she's severe with the daughter-in-law, or the woman, she's severe with her relatives, especially with the daughter-in-law. So love and tenderness, we end this. With our own hands, we make our children run away. But a wali of Allah, our Hazrat said that you are a white cloth. There should be no stain on you, O mu'min. You are the thakir, the shakir. You've made the face of a mu'min. You've got the dhoti, you get the beard, wear the imama. So these things don't allow you to do actions that people start to hate you or dislike you. This is the name of islah. Brothers, why do we deceive people? Is this right or wrong, my friends? So we need to see that tomorrow if somebody grabs my neck, the Hazrat say, hey, what's this game? They'll grab us more than me and you. If I take somebody's money or consume someone's money, if somebody else consume money, but he'll say more to me, that what are you doing? We looked at your parents, we gave you this much money and you've eaten our money. Yes, that you've done fraud with us. And regularly people say this, no, he's pious, he's good. Invest with him, give them money. And today if I open up a business, or if I just sit and that I open up a business, for example, you see that the whole of Baltal will come to me. Will they come to me or not? Let's go to Hazrat Sahab, close your eyes. The question doesn't arise. This is, subhanallah, the character of insan, the mu'min's character. That when people trust you so much, then we should fulfill their trust. Yes, that this person's pious, good, and people, they close their eyes and give to you. He prays salah, he does good. This happens, isn't it? They trust. And today inside, we've got dirt inside us and impurities, then how bad is that? So we should see ourselves, that who will you trust more? First of all, you say, oh, he's pious, he's a good person, he's got good face, he looks got beard, imama, turban, he's a dhakir, a zakir, a shakir. Praise, people praise. They say, no, go to him. They'll say, no. They give him this many thousand, no, you cannot lose out. But when that person deceives, then the whole dunya will go towards what? كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْهُمْ That Allah Ta'ala has said in the Qur'an that you were given such a favor. Allah Ta'ala said, I give you a favor that I sent my Nabi to you. With this connection you got dhikr. And if we didn't have that, then Allah Ta'ala says, I won't tell you to do shukr, and nor would I tell you, and nor would I give you dhikr. I gave you dhikr for this reason, that you should be grateful for to my mahbub, that my mahbub came to you. There's a new point out here today about dhikr. That whenever we sit to do dhikr, then where will the nisbat go? The connection go towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi al-Kareem. That this is your favor on us, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you are our guide and Nabi and Prophet. Otherwise, how could we do the dhikr of Allah? Rather, I'll tell you a point that subhanallah. On one side there's durood, and the other side there's dhikr Allah. And these are both very precious. And who do we ask? We ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Ya Rasulullah, please tell us, that shall we send durood upon you and do or do dhikr of Allah? The answer comes that don't do durood, but do the dhikr of Allah. Today, I understood this point. Why? What's the reason for this? That's what I understood today. That dhikr, if you recite durood, even then it will be sent to the Prophet. But if you do dhikr and recite dhikr, then it will also be beneficial to the person. He'll get thawab at the same time. This is a very good point. So better than durood is that do dhikr of Allah. And that thawab, that will also come to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Same way, just as if we recite the durood. So brothers, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his softness, his tenderness, he was very happy and always smiling. And a person who's a Sufi doing tazkiyah, who's rectifying himself, we shouldn't be firm and strict and hard inside. That the actions that we do, if we want to do something with strictness and firmness, it will take us 10 years. But if we are soft and tender and we request something, then straight away it will be fulfilled. For example, somebody's off track, he's disobedient, your children and you got problems, don't pick up the stick. Present yourself with love and affection. And for this reason, that Allah, that this is the sunnah of your Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the sunnah has an effect. So you used to prefer this better, rather than you preferred that a soft approach is taken. And I know I can be strict, and I know this, my child has gone off track. How can I be soft with him? But this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inshallah, through the sunnah, the cure will come. Even then, be soft and tender and happy and smile. Inshallah, one day the color, the effect of the sunnah will take place and your child will be reformed and improved. So don't be strict and hard. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him. He was an ajeeb companion. Ajeeb companion. What was he like? He was 8 years old, very young child, and his mother took his hand, subhanallah, she went direct straight to the Prophet ﷺ and said, this child is for you, I'm handing him over to you, assigning to you. And her name was Umm Salima, something like this. And she said, Ya Rasulullah, please accept him in your service, he's your khadim from now on. And I'm leaving him in your khanka, he'll serve you. I have no link with him now, please make him your khadim. So imagine that mother, great mother. What a mother she must have been, subhanallah. She said, she knew that all ulum, hafidh, qari, everything will be learnt here. Please just make him your khadim, end of story. And please accept him. So then, Nabi al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, subhanallah, he said, please leave him here. He from today is the khadim. And he was 8 years old. Imagine child, and all of the child has desires and toffees and ice creams and sweets. And the child asked the mother and father, that's the age, isn't it? Yeah, mother, I want a chocolate. I want to eat it. The child kept on saying this until he doesn't receive. And the slap is given, even then the child wants it. The mother or the father, they will definitely give the child if the child runs after the mother or father. So that child was left at the service of Rasulullah. Whatever is fed or given, I have no worries. So Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu said, I was 8 years old, subhanAllah. And I graduated from that 18 years of age. 10 years he was the khadim, subhanAllah. Then it's like he was his whole life. Then where was he to go after that 18 years of age? Where was he to go, subhanAllah? Tell me. So this 8 years old child, he said that once he said a waqi, an event, that he was young. And he was spending the day in the Rasulullah ﷺ said, go Anas, go and carry out this action of mine. And he was given the duty, a task. He said, I cannot do this. Subhanallah. And he stood firm. He was young. He said, I swear by Allah, I will not do this. Nabi ﷺ said, if somebody does this to you, a work of yours or a slave, for example, people of slaves or servants, he said, I will not do this. But in his heart, he said, how could I not do this job of yours task? Because he was young. So this was the youth. And imagine how pious he was, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, this hadith. That from his tongue, he said that Abdullah do it, but he was a child, he was aware, he knew in his heart, and he had piety in such a level that whose khadim is he? Whose khadim is he? And the piety was on such a high level that from his heart, he said that, how can it be I can reject Rasulullah's order? And he said this and he went off. And the other children were playing out in the street, and he went and stood there amongst the children and talking and speaking, mashallah. And he said, after a while I saw that on my head, a beautiful fragrance I could smell on my head. Now here, I am speaking with a bit of passion and love. These are not all the words of the hadith. I'm just speaking an extra definition. Obviously, wherever the Prophet ﷺ used to pass by, for weeks and months, the beautiful fragrance would linger. Rather, from that fragrance, you'd learn if somebody was looking for you, then the path, if you walk down that path and you smell the fragrance, you'd realize that Rasulullah is nearby. So the Prophet ﷺ went to Hazrat Anas, look at the darja, the level of his khadim, how free the Prophet ﷺ was with. If this was the hal in his youth, then tell me what will be the beautiful effects of Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu. His status as a sahabi, he said, I suddenly smelled beautiful fragrance, and children were stood behind me, and on my head, it felt as if that, subhanAllah, that cool ice, coolness was on my head, and a beautiful fragrance. And Rasulullah didn't pull his hair or give punishment, he just put his blessed hands on the head of Hazrat Anas, and Hazrat Anas said, I turned around and looked, and when I looked, I saw that the Prophet ﷺ was stood behind me. The task he gave to me was, I stood, and then in a beautiful smiling voice, and the Prophet ﷺ smiled and laughed, and the Sahaba Kiram said that may we be sacrificed on the laughing and the smile of the Prophet ﷺ. There could be no greater example than this, the husn, the beauty and the smile, subhanAllah. The whole of that generation at the time were ready to give their all for the Prophet ﷺ, his beautiful smile, his beautiful teeth and lips. Imagine the beauty in his smiling, no chuckling, no noise, but such a smile that in the whole of that generation, the light and the glow of the moon spread. SubhanAllah, as soon as Anas radiallahu anhu turned around and saw the smile of the Prophet and saw the beauty, so has seen a beautiful smile, then Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu said that at that time that the beautiful blessed words of the Prophet, that pearls were emanating from the beautiful mouth of the Prophet. Hazrat Anas said, oh Anas, with such beauty and softness, said, Anas, are you going to go there or not? SubhanAllah, say SubhanAllah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Will you be going there or not? He said, oh Prophet of Allah, may I give my all for you? How can it be I don't go? As Anas radiallahu anhu said. So what was this? As Anas radiallahu anhu said, that this was the definition of the soft and tender manner and approach of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which shook the generation of that time, the people of that time. Look at the strictness of us. We pray salah, tahajjud, we go on tabligh, and our frown doesn't go, and our mouth doesn't shut. We don't want to speak to other people, and we don't want to shake hands with other people. We think we're better and pious, and if something comes in opposition to our desires, we become stubborn. And if someone disagrees with us, we stop looking at that person. We don't even look at that person, like he's not even in the masjid. We ignore that person. And then we do dhikr and make faces of mu'mins, and we do bad actions. How can this be? That doesn't matter what the generation says, but the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, we should physically revive that, smiling. Never should we frown and meet someone. Even if someone doesn't like us, then smile. Meet that person, tell me, how are you, my friend? Are you okay? So that person can also smile, inshallah. This is how we should be. Isn't this azim sunnah? Smiling, softness in the heart, tenderness. This is how we should be, otherwise we're just deceiving others. Shafqat. Soft-hearted, tender-hearted, loving, caring, affectionate. I say the person who demonstrates this quality, we cannot imagine in that home that the husband and the wife have an argument. Cannot be. Impossible. There will never be a quarrel. Never. Will the children never listen? Tell me, I'm not a pious person, I'm not a wali. But when I was young, my tarbiyat was done in such a way, my rectification, that all my life, remember this, all my life, I never told off or hit any of my children. Never did I do this. Yes, but when it came to for the not praying salah, I kept the doi, the needle, the pin needle. I said, bring the doi. Where salah was a bit weak, for example, at fajr time in the morning, then every person, when it doesn't pray fajr salah, then this is many times that the needle, then after, for example, I had a tariqah, a method very soft, and obviously I can't do this. Then, for example, the doi, maybe, then after, with some excuse, I would give them chocolate or a sweet. Yes, I couldn't go to sleep. Then why did I hit the child? Why did I tell them off? I can't tell anybody off. Yes, because this was common for them. that doesn't matter what he does, he's not going to say anything to you in the house. From the beginning, when, for example, we were growing up and my brothers were younger, so I'm not explaining piety to you, but what I'm saying is, shafqat, love, this is what we need to demonstrate. Today, all the children love. They can never remember that my father was ever strict. And such a generation comes when a person grows up, then he thinks that my father, he did this to me, my mother, she was unjust to me, my mother was about to hit me, then I did this. And it happens and the thoughts come, don't they? Rather, the mother, she probably gave the punishment for some other reason, and the father maybe told you for a good reason, but it doesn't come out of your mind. And thousands of people I can show you who complain about their parents, they dislike their parents and hate their parents, astaghfirullah, for this reason. The father, he says, my father, just yesterday, the mother came running, oh, my daughter, she doesn't speak to me, she doesn't communicate to me. I said, look, the point here is that you are complaining and you're telling me this, but tell me, that when she was young, what did you do with her when she was young? Yes? Did you ever speak with softness with her? Were you tender on the small thing? Hey, what are you doing? Hey, bring the shoe. Bring, hit that child with the shoe. Get back. So if you speak like this, like you're a police inspector. And one said, I don't know if he's my father or is he an inspector or a policeman. Have I come to the police station or am I sitting in my home? So this is our style. We speak with firmness. Oh, come here. Oh, do this. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Isn't this the case? Yes? No, we don't speak. The father doesn't speak straight. Oh, he wants to bend his head down. What are you doing? Get back. Come for it. Never should insan be like this. Play with the children, wrestle and play games and enjoy yourself. Allah has given you rewards. The children, alhamdulillah, the haq, the rights, the wife, the children, present yourself to them with softness and tenderness. So this is a sunnah that I'm telling you. Azeem sunnah. Love and tenderness. Soft-heartedness. We should do amal on this. My brothers, this is an adheem sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in this way, we should do islah, rectify ourselves, improve ourselves. When this islah is performed of the batin, the inner state, inner self, then the inner self glows and sparkles. If we follow this sunnah from today, we should promise that what we've done before, first and foremost, will be soft, tender-hearted, smiling with shafqat and love. Even if our child does something wrong, ignore it and explain nicely, softly, lovingly, with muhabbat. Fine, Sharia said he's doing wrong, she's doing wrong. So put in your heart hatred for that action, but will you be able to correct somebody with firmness by being strict? Can you? Can a woman correct her husband through strictness? Can she stop him doing dirty actions? No, through being firm and strict. I say to the women that if your husband is stern and he's telling you off, then take the olive oil and start to give him a massage on his head. And after a while, you'll see that olive oil will come in your hand. And think this, that this is the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that I'm approaching in a soft way. And his brain and mind will cool down and your husband will become good. He'll start giving you money. He'll start listening to your words. So may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of what? The Nabi Al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all his sunnah, may we do amal on them. Especially that the maladies that are within us, because nobody can see us inside in it. They can see us zahir, but we should improve our inner state, batin, soul and heart. I should always think that just like I'm outside, I should be inside. Like I'm in my home, I should be outside the same. Like inside my heart, I should be outside the same. Because Allah, Rabbul Kareem, is watching me. He's going to give the rules for me. Otherwise, I'll wake up as a munafiq, hypocrite. I was something else inside and I showed myself outside as something else. Your wife should be happy. Your children should be happy. The greatest hasab that will take place. First question that will be asked is what? What? The wife and the children. Do you fulfill their rights? If your wife complains, no, he broke my rights. He didn't do this and that. Do istighfar to Allah. Do tawbah. Repent and please the wife. And no right do we have to let them down. Allah says, not my haq. Why did you leave them for my sake? Why? What does it mean? Why didn't you fulfill the rights of the wife? Why didn't you fulfill the rights of the children? Yani, the wife and the children, their haqooka, what? That the wife and the children's rights, they go beyond and exceed the parents. Because you've brought the wife from a strange place. She wasn't your relative. Yes, first you have to give the musals and the rights and the possessions and the whatever they need to live to the wife and children first. Then the parents. Allah has made a law. Principles. It's not just blood relationships that run everywhere. Allah's laws also run. Akhlaq, manners. Anyway, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice this sunnah and this journey of islah, tazkiyah that we are on. May Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of this. Ameen. Recite Durood Sharif.